The Mets have been shut out by Dodger pitching in two of the first three games of the NLCS, but Carlos Mendoza does not plan on making any major changes to the lineup. Mendoza understands that you have to strike that balance between riding the guys who got you there, and that's exactly how he put it. These are the guys who got us here, and making changes when it seems like those guys aren't getting it done. But Mendoza has gotten as far as he's gotten by not pushing panic buttons, even when the Mets were 0-5. That's when David Stearns, who at the time was Mendoza's new boss, said that he was impressed by the manager's ability to stay calm and stay the same no matter what. There are some moves that could be made. Francisco Alvarez, in particular, has been forcing it on defense and having bad at-bats on offense, really, for a couple of weeks now. But Luis Torrens hasn't played in all that time. He is not the starting catcher. Alvarez is, and Alvarez is one of those guys who Mendoza is going to stick with. They're either going to come back in this series or go down with the guys who got them to this point.
Welcome to another reaction edition of the Talking Mets podcast here on this Thursday, October the 17th, 2024. Of course, I'm your host, Mike Silva. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X at Talking Mets No G and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G. Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG, and don't forget the newsletter, Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks from Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. Happy Thursday. Happy Thursday, early Thursday morning. I guess not so happy if you're getting up now and just recovering from watching the Dodgers beat the Mets 8-0 in Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. We're here to react about it. Maybe you had a chance to hear me late after the ball game with Anthony Rivera, Subway to Shea on the Twitter Spaces post game. And not much has changed, if you've heard that, in my feelings as I've had a chance to get a few hours of sleep and marinate on the loss. As I said last night after the game, there isn't many 8-0 games where the theme will be missed opportunity, because last night was a huge missed opportunity for the Mets. Now, you're saying, well, Mike, how is that possible? They lost 8-0. They were annihilated. They didn't score any runs. Ohtani hit some people in the ballpark still are telling us that who are in the ballpark, it's foul. Who knows? It was close. The Mets got to do something with that foul pole. I think Nimmo got robbed of a home run earlier this year. They got to raise that foul pole so that there's a little bit more clarity. Side note on that whole thing. But the game, which turned into the White Flag Brigade with McGill late, was almost two ball games. And the real game, the missed opportunity that this club had, was in the first 4-5 innings against Walker Buehler. And there's a combination of bad play, and we'll get to that, and bad luck. And then part of the bad luck is just, quite simply, that's part of baseball. But you want to talk about bad play. The tone and where the missed opportunity happened was in the second inning, right off the bat in the second inning, between the walks when Severino lost his command, the terrible baseball play by Alvarez on the error. I could forgive maybe Severino on some of the clumsy play on the mound when it comes to fielding ground balls. Maybe there was, you know, the ground ball, tough play, trying to grab it, go home when I think it was the bases were loaded, it was runners at the corners, and they got their first run. But fielding, which has been a strength of the Mets, left them that inning, and that's really why they were down. They should have got out of that inning without any runs scoring, but it all started with Alvarez. We'll get to him in a minute. But ultimately, Walker Buehler, who has been pretty bad since he came back from Tommy John surgery and was lit up in the San Diego series, showed vintage Walker Buehler form. And Dave Roberts talked about this. I talked about this on the spaces, and this was in the back of my head. I had a bad feeling about the game really pretty much after that sequence. The annoying at-bat was bases loaded, one out, Mets down 2-0, Alvarez at the plate. And right there, his approach and everything that concerns you about Alvarez. And I tweeted about this, and I know that this may seem alarmist, but the same concerns, the same frustrations, all the things that we complained about with regards to Brett Beatty, you're now starting to see with Alvarez. Now, Alvarez is going to get a lot longer rope here because, first of all, you can't do anything. You can't send Alvarez down in October. And you heard coming in the comments from Andy Martino. I would love, and I think part of what I believe needs to happen, is Alvarez to take a seat, Luis Torrens to play. I know that there's certain downgrades, maybe with framing with Torrens, and really have Alvarez sit back and think about, okay, are you ready to really compete and put an approach here at the plate? Are you ready to slow the game down and play smart baseball? Because right now, all Alvarez is almost like running around with a chicken with his head cut off, or a bull in the china shop, whatever kind of corny, you know, saying that your parents probably told you back in the day. He's up there swinging from his heels. He's out there just emotionally reacting on defense. Yes, he's still doing his thing with the framing and whatnot, but he's certainly, and it's an important thing, but he's certainly one-dimensional. And when he went up there and he got behind, and he was looking at fastballs on the corner all night, which tells you he's completely guessing. He has no idea his approach at the plate up there. I knew he was struck out. I knew a Walker Buehler was going to make mincemeat out of him. And that then put all the pressure on Lindor, the MVP, the guy that has come through time and time and time again. And he ran that count full. And give Walker Buehler credit. Mendoza called it a knuckle curve, whatever it is, a curveball, a slider, a sweeper, whatever you want to call these things this day. That pitch with the bases loaded, that pitch was what won the Dodgers the ballgame. Because if the Mets get that game back, they get those two runs back or more, and that was perfectly set up. Buehler in trouble, crooked number ready to happen, perfectly set up. This is a different ballgame. I think, you know, Severino settled down after that. I know he didn't get past the fifth, the walks, the things that the Dodgers offense do, like grinding him into the ground. I know that that could still possibly happen, but ultimately it's a different ballgame. And there were other instances, other opportunities. J.D. Martinez striking out with a runner on, a couple of runners on base in the third inning. Bottom of the fourth inning, you know, nothing really went on there. Mets trying to get something done in the bottom of the fifth, nothing there. Really, after Enrique Hernandez hit the home run, they had that other scenario with a couple of runners on and Jose Iglesias hitting ground double play. The Dodgers made big pitches. Mets had a couple opportunities, but the real big one was the Alvarez-Lindor situation. And then there was the bad luck, and I think that the bad luck, and it was funny because as I talked to you guys about Citi Field, and I know Citi Field in the cold. I've watched enough games here, watching the games in April. Sometimes, geez, in a cooler summer day, there are days that balls are hit and they just don't go anywhere. And you're shocked. Like, how did that not go out? And sometimes that's why I feel like, all right, put a big game for the Mets on the road, because you take away the stress of playing at home sometimes, and at least in some of these other ballparks, it's much fairer. Now, it's not the old Citi Field that opened up that was the Grand Canyon, that you couldn't get anything out. And Shea Stadium, for whatever reason, where the ballpark is located over there, you know, where the World's Fair was in Flushing, whatever, Corona, whatever you want to call it, the balls have always, at night, had this weird lack of carry. So I see StatCast come up, and you know, they say it's going to be 7 more feet here, 11 more feet here, and I'm like, okay. And earlier in the ball game, actually leading off the ball game, Lindor hit a ball that it was should have been an easy fly ball, and it carried quite a bit there. And I was like, oh, wow. I said, this is interesting. This is different. And then the StatCast thing comes up. Well, boy, was StatCast wrong? Was the Fox booth wrong? Because I see Alonso hit a ball that looked like it was going to go out, just die at the warning track. I see Lindor hit another ball that I thought was going to go out, die. Vientos hits a ball that according to StatKiss, would have been out at Dodger Stadium, just died out there. And then over on X, I see at GoodFundies over on X put out that the Mets had six balls in play with an expected batting average of over 330, five of them over 500, and three of them over 750. And they and only one was hit, and it was hit for a single. That just shows you, baseball sometimes is about hitting the ball at the right place when you're a pitcher. So you make your own breaks. It starts out with the Mets gifting the Dodgers a couple of runs. They don't capitalize on an opportunity. Citi Field was about to put Walker Buehler in the blender. Citi Field was about to get louder and louder and show the Dodgers why the Phillies were sent home packing from the place. And the Mets handed it right back. And they handed an opportunity where they could have went up 2-1. They could have put all the pressure on the Dodgers because LA just wants to win a game. Because they think, I think they feel good going back to Dodger Stadium down 3-2. I think they feel really comfortable playing at Dodger Stadium. The Mets, they want to go back to Dodger Stadium up because that gives them the best chance to win. But I think in the back of everybody's mind, myself included, hey man, let's put a lot of pressure here where maybe they can get a game here. We have home field back. And the Mets handed that right back. And I think you saw some of the soft underbelly here rear itself, where on offense, unlike the Dodgers, the Mets don't really work the Dodger pitchers. The Mets' core offensive players are either injured or really injured, actually, in Nimmo, having inconsistent, streaky postseasons like Alonso. And then you have your rest of your lineup that are component players, and let's call it like it is. The Dodgers' component players are better offensive players than the Mets. And I'll tell you, and I don't want to make this all about Alvarez, but Alvarez is absolutely killing them in that lineup. Absolutely killing them. At this point, Tomas Nito at the plate, I have more confidence in. And not that Luis Torrens, because he had a great start, and he has a great arm behind the plate. He's a very serviceable backup catcher. But the fact that we're even having the conversation about Alvarez and Torrens at this point on October the 17th is a huge indictment on Alvarez. And the Mets needed that bat in the bottom part of the order. There's so much that he could provide, the power. In a lot of ways, if he is who you think he is, that his top prospect status indicated, you basically have an Alonso type at bat in the 9-hole. What a great advantage, because then you could actually almost in thirds quadrant out that lineup. You have your Lindor part of the lineup. You have your middle part of the lineup with your DH. And I know we'll get to that, where a lot of fans think it should be Jesse Winker. But yeah, JD Martinez part of the lineup. And then you have the Alvarez. So you have those linchpins in each part of the lineup. Only one of the three is even remotely close to playing to how you expect it. And two of them are significantly below league average. So that's where you're at here on the 17th. And I understand what Martino is saying. And I understand what the Mets and Mendoza are saying. We spent a good deal of the Twitter spaces talking about how frustrating the lineup was. Our friend Anthony Rivera, somebody Shea, talked about it. Talked about why is Winker not in the lineup? Alvarez is driving me crazy. Why is Nimmo staying out the entire game when he has severe plantar fasciitis? And I get it. Well, and then there's the JD Martinez, a guy that was brought in to be a value price of an elite bat and seemed to have his bat turned to dust. The Dodgers might have got whatever last bit of sunshine that JD Martinez has. A concern, and one of the reasons why we've talked about it over and over again, that I was skeptical about giving up major prospect capital a couple of years ago when he was on the block with Boston for a guy that had a bad second half in Boston that year and has a bad back. And now you hear going into game four, really for the Mets, if they don't want to turn this series into the 0-4 Red Sox again, a game four that's a must win. They're back at the must win. They were at a must win a couple of days ago, 48 hours ago. They're back at that here at Citi Field. The only positive I can tell you here, because it sounds like they're going to go back out with the same crew, Jose Quintana is a guy that was there for them when they had their backs against the wall and needed a win in Milwaukee. He was there for them against the Phillies. He's been there for them since he had that terrible midsummer rough stretch. Really since that awful game against the A's at Citi Field where he blew a 5-0 lead. He's been there for them. He's been right there with Manaea in terms of their best pitcher. Maybe not going as deep, but he's a veteran. He knows how to pitch. He's been there before. I don't think he's going to get caught up in the moment. The hope is that he'll throw strikes. The Dodger lineup will continue to try to put him in the blender, but I think he's a guy that could keep his emotions in check and give the Mets that settled performance they need. In a lot of ways, and I hate going back in Mets history and using lazy comparisons, but is he their version of Bobby Ojeda? You know, the Mets lost a game in Houston in 86. They had it to win game two. It was going to be really hard against that pitching staff to win 4-5. They did not, similar to this team, have home field. And Bobby Ojeda goes out there and beats Nolan Ryan in game two in Houston, a tough place the Mets did not play well at. And maybe Quintana could do that today at Citi Field. And he's going to be doing it with the same group behind him. Now, I'm on board with a lot of the second-guessing. I think Winker right now, unless he's not healthy, should be the DH. I think McNeil at second base is an option. I saw, after I had said that, I saw what Mendoza said about the splits with Yamamoto, how Yamamoto is so much better against lefties than righties. So I understand that. I understand why they'll stick with that. It's water under the bridge about what happened with Buehler. Let's face it. McNeil, Winker, could they have made a difference? Sure. But the inning that mattered, the inning that turned it all around, is the Alvarez-Lindor inning. And I mean, Alvarez has left, what, about 10 runners on base in this series? I mean, he knocks in a couple of those. Who knows where we're at right now? He's been awful. I mean, the only reason the Mets didn't blow out the Dodgers and really put a hurt on them on Monday afternoon was because Alvarez left an entire island of people on base. So he's been a huge detriment. Now, behind the plate with the framing, we know that's his strength. Quintana is going to need that today. I know what he does to keep Diaz focused and pump him up. He does bring value. But I'll tell you, long term, when this is all said and done, unless we start to see some changes with the approach at the plate, I don't know the future of Alvarez in the big leagues if this is who he is from a baseball intelligence standpoint. I always tell you, the league will figure it out. I had a former big leaguer coach tell me, it's all about adjustments. You come up, you burst onto the scene, they adjust, you have to adjust. Then they adjust to you, you have to adjust. And it's a constant adjustment till you are who you are. And the mental part of that and dealing with that is huge in whether or not you become Jose Reyes and David Wright or you fizzle out like Lasting Zmilich. Just using some names from Mets history. It's the National League Championship Series and the Mets are playing the Dodgers. Why not have some fun while you're watching the game with Underdog? Take a swing at Pick'em this baseball season on Underdog. Over a million fans across 33 states got in the game last year by making picks on Underdog. Went up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on your favorite player stats, like strikeouts, total bases, and home runs. Look, you're a Mets fan. Take the higher on Pete Alonso and the home run. Take the higher on Kodai Senga and the strikeouts. Why not? If you're a Dodgers fan or you want to make a little money and you like Shohei Ohtani, take the higher on how many home runs the Mets pitcher that day is going to give up. The possibilities are endless. Underdog is super easy to play, and it's even easier to get started. Go to their easy-to-use mobile app or to underdogfantasy.com. Sign up a promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, and Underdog will give you a mystery special pick to use on your first Pick'em entry, plus a first-time deposit offer up to $1,000 in bonus cash. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, to claim your new customer special of a mystery player pick and your deposit offer. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 or older in Colorado for some games, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369. I'm playing Underdog Fantasy this National League Championship Series playoff season. Why don't you? And, you know, there's a lot of evoking of Gary Sanchez here sometimes from Mets fans because you have this catcher with a good arm and some defensive prowess and a big power bat that's shown some promise. And Gary Sanchez burst onto the scene and then his bat turned to dust. And now he's a journeyman that bounces around. I don't want to say 4A, but he's been in that 4A category at times. Now, Gary Sanchez wasn't a really hard worker, and that was always what drove Joe Girardi nuts. I can't sit here and say that Alvarez doesn't work because all you've heard is how much time he puts in. But I think it's about Alvarez working smarter, not harder. And I think the Mets have to do that today. They have to make sure they come out today and play smarter. They have to play crisp baseball. And boy, oh boy, the walks continue to kill them. That, to me, which was a theme all year, which somehow went into the closet for a couple of weeks at the beginning of the postseason, now has become, I mean, 7-8 walks, almost a walk per inning on some nights. You can't win against this Dodgers team doing that. You can't. So here we're at, missed opportunity. There's no reason to look back. It's only to look forward. Now the Mets have to do it the hard way. They had a very big pitching advantage in Game 3. And I really don't think Severino pitched poorly. He has given you 6 innings, 3 runs. He didn't quite get into the 6th this time. I think the 2nd inning and the errors did him in. If he gets through that clean 2nd inning, I really believe Severino goes through in the 6th. And who knows? Maybe Kiki Hernandez doesn't get that home run. Maybe you get into the 7th only down 2-0. That's where this whole missed opportunity comes into play. The game was the first 5 innings and the last 4. McGill, bad matchup, the Dodgers, for McGill. I know McGill, let me be clear. He was big down the stretch. Blackburn fizzled out, got hurt. McGill came in and gave them enough in his starts to be a part of getting here. And I think he's morphing into, hopefully, for the Mets, because you need good back end of the rotation, a 5th starter that against certain lineups and certain teams and on certain days could flirt with, hey, man, he's a lot better than a 5th starter. He's got good stuff. But against the patient lineup, against the lineup with power, against the lineup that you can't fall behind 2-1, 3-1 and expect not to get punished, he is not a good option. What Ohtani did and Muncy did, those were inevitabilities that he was begging for. And the only thing that was going to keep him keep the game from happening that way was if the ball stopped carrying. And that was the frustrating part. You see Pete's ball and Vientos's ball and Lindor's balls not go out. And then Hernandez hits one. And I knew he hit it good. He knew he hit it good. And I get it. Yeah, that should be a home run. And on most City Field warm days, it probably doesn't sneak over the wall. It probably goes much further back. But his goes out. I'm like, and you knew at that point it just wasn't going to be the Mets night. And I'm not here to complain and point fingers and make excuses. That's not what I'm saying. That's just frustration. Look, it's okay to be frustrated. That doesn't mean you're complaining about it. You're just frustrated. But tonight will determine whether or not the Mets seriously are looking at a long series. I told you from the start you had to win 2 in LA. There was no world where the Mets were going to blitz through this team like they did the Cubs 10 years ago in the National League Championship Series. There's no world where I thought a sweep of the Dodgers at Citi Field was going to be easy or plausible. Yeah, it's in the back of your head going into Game 3. And if you get up 2-1, you're going to get greedy now. But ultimately, the Dodgers, this is the World Series. I said this last night, I don't want to hear, the Yankees this, the Guardians that. The American League all year has been unimpressive. The Mets have played all the American League teams. It's not like I'm sitting here talking about it from a StatCast analytics standpoint. The Dodgers are the best team the Mets have seen in the postseason. They're not probably. They are the best team I've seen them play And they haven't played them since May, so I'm looking at this version of the Mets. So this is almost like a new introduction to Mets-Dodgers from Memorial Day week. But this is by far the best team they've played. And it's not even the most complete Dodgers team because their pitching has taken a beating. They don't even have Vesia, one of their better relievers. They're a tough organization. They're a tough team. They're the Mets' muse. Ultimately, we're there where the Mets want to be. And the scary part, and I know you're thinking about this, the scary part is, with all their success since this equity group bought the team from Frank McCourt about 15 years ago, that they don't have a championship. 2020 is not real. 2020 is like the NBA in-season tournament. And all that money, all those big-time players, all those opportunities year in and year out to get into the playoffs, the baseball tournament, and they don't have a championship. Or if you want to say they have one, okay. I mean, they do, but they have the BS one of the BS ones. And you look at the Mets, you're like, wow, this is hard. Getting this first championship since 86 is hard. Real hard. Now, getting into the tournament and putting yourself in a position every year like the Dodgers have done, like the Braves have done for stretches, like the Phillies have done the last few years, well, that'll give you a better chance of coming out on the right side of that. But looking at the Dodgers could scare you. I mean, the Dodgers, in a way, are probably a little bit tired of falling short. For as much as the Mets have grimaced, OMG, the city of New York, even the media who turned on them last night and started back to their old ways of making jokes because they were bored and angry that the last three innings was, you know, City Field Mausoleum. You know, the Mets are facing a team that believes that, hey, we got something going on here too. We shouldn't be here. San Diego had us by the throat. And they played the game perfectly at Citi Field. They got the Mets down. When the crowd was ready to put them in the blender, they got the big outs. Bueller got the big outs. He reached back for Walker Bueller pre-Tommy John. Is it for one night? I think you might. I mean, if there's a game seven, it's going to be another bullpen game. We already know that. If there's a game seven, it's not going to be Flaherty. It'll probably be Bueller. Maybe they'll be able to pitch some of their starters here and there, like an inning or whatever on throw day. But right now, if you're Dave Roberts, you feel good about Bueller. Can he do it again? Similar to Flaherty, I don't know. I don't know how much he has there. You're not going to tell me a guy with a 6.5 ERA all year is all of a sudden going to discover it for one game and become his normal self. Maybe. Sometimes something clicks. But they played it perfectly. They got the big outs, and they turn. The thing about Citi Field, and this is not a knock on the fans, when the Mets get down and then you get a couple extra runs and it's 4-0, you totally eliminate the Citi Field factor. You could play that game on the moon. It becomes a cold, dark, big mausoleum that then plays into your favor because Pete Alonso's fly balls die at the warning track. Period. End of story. So that's where everybody's at. Mendoza's going to live and die with Alvarez. He's going to live and die with Iglesias. He's going to live and die with JD Martinez. Probably this is not as controversial as a decision when you see that Yamamoto's numbers where what lefties hit .193 against him in the regular season. So you gotta, you know, he's got that analytical out, but boy, the eye test tells you there's some serious questions and concerns about Alvarez when this postseason ends, one way or the other. And it's a shame that McNeil is basically working himself into spring training shape in the championship series. And personally, and I don't think this is a stretch, I think JD Martinez is done. If you get anything out of him, it's going to be in a small, you know, lightning in a bottle. I think Jesse Winker is the guy that you're going to have to lean on. And maybe, you have to start, I guess, JD against lefties. But there are no lefties here. Yeah, there'll be lefties in the bullpen, maybe Banda. But even he, you know, as a lefty, you can't hit Banda? Guy who couldn't get three outs in Cincinnati as a Met a couple of years ago in a game that the Mets had to hang on for dear life in extra innings. So that's where you're at. We'll be back tomorrow morning. We'll be back tonight with a post-game Twitter Spaces. Kind of back against the wall. Big game. I know Citi Field will show up. It's going to be interesting because if the Dodgers get ahead 1 or 2-0 again early, how will the crowd react? Will they start to wave the white flag? The crowds have been good. The Mets fans have been good. I saw a little bit of that. Oh, it's been a good year, you know. I don't mind losing to them. It's better than playing the Yankees and losing to them in the World Series. BS. That ship left the building last week. The Mets put their chips to the center of the table. They want to win a championship. They're a Final Four team. You don't know when you're going to be back here. Everybody thought the Mets were going to be back again after 15. They didn't sniff it again after that. Harvey, DeGrom, Syndergaard, that was their shot. It was early in their careers. Syndergaard wasn't even a year into the game. He didn't even have a year of service time, and that was his shot as a member of the Mets. That's it. You don't know if you're going to get back here. And even if you do, you don't know if you're going to get as far. Just told you. Look at the Dodgers. So you got to bring it tonight. You can't wave the white flag. You're down 1-0. You're down 2-0. Heck, you're down a run late. You got to put all that's into it. You can't just say, oops, nice run. Next year, we'll figure this out. No, you don't know. You don't know injuries. You don't know health. You don't know what's going to happen. It all starts over again in a couple of weeks when the winner is crowned. Everybody's got a shot next year, and teams are going to get better. The Mets didn't exactly slide into the playoffs. They eked in, not because they're a bad team, because it's a tough league. So bring it tonight. Don't give up. The Mets are not going to get blown out. I don't believe this team, because anytime they've had their back against the wall, I don't care if it's a starter game, a bullpen game, things were much more dire in L.A. It was much harder to win that game, too, in L.A. Now you have the home crowd on your side. You have the weather on your side. The ballpark, to a certain degree, will hold Ohtani and those guys in the yard against big league pitching that knows what they're doing, not Tyler McGill. So there's where you're at. But all right, buckle up, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this reaction edition to Game 3 of the National League Championship Series. Big missed opportunity for the Mets, but they're able to shake it off, get back in the series today with a winning Game 4. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMetsNoG and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. NoG, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You get me on Instagram, TalkingMetsNoG. Of course, there's the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks on the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Buckle up for Game 4. We'll see you tonight after the game. Twitter Spaces, Anthony Rivera, Subway to Shea, Mike Silva. Till then, take care, everybody.